It was not your fault. Matthew's voice wasn't gentle now.
I let him do those things to me, and then I let my mom...
It was not your fault. If he wasn't dead, I'd kill him myself. If we get out of this alive, I'll make sure he's dead. And if he's not...
Caitlin's heart was pounding wildly, and she suddenly wasn't sure she wanted Matthew's arms around her. Instantly, Matthew drew himself away, putting the distance between them that she'd thought she wanted.
I have never felt so useless, Matthew said. If you weren't immune to mind magic, I could fix this. I could make you forget, or help you heal, or somehow convince you that you're a good person.
Caitlin reeled. Now it was her turn to scoot back a few inches. Her eyes flew up to his face, and she saw something in his eyes that made her truly afraid of him for the first time.
I've done it before, Matthew went on. When you're a telepath, it's hard to miss that people out there are hurting. Sometimes it's not even their fault, like with you. But I can't.
You want to fix me?
I want to help you.
Caitlin gaped at him. Okay, so yes, she was broken. She could admit that. But to have someone root around inside her mind against her will and change her.
No, that's not how it is, Matthew said. There was a girl who was suicidal, and I convinced her to see a therapist. And there was this girl in high school whose uncle was a little like your stepfather. And I just cleaned the memories away.
Is that what you want to do with me? Clean the memories away and make me see a therapist?
I can't erase old memories. But yes, you do need to talk to someone who can help.
I talked to you, and you want to fix me.
I didn't mean it like that.
Yes, you did.
Matthew opened and closed his mouth a few times, but he finally nodded.
Yes, maybe I did. But you have no idea how hard it is to see you hurting, to know you judge yourself for it, and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it wasn't your fault, none of it.
He didn't rape me, Caitlin said. I let him.
You were a child.
Caitlin looked away as tears began to fill her eyes. She could scarcely see. Her thoughts were scattered on the wind, leaving her feeling hollow and exposed, like someone had carved out all her internal organs and put them on display.
I can't do this right now. I've got to...
Caitlin didn't know what she had to do, but she climbed the ladder down from the loft and stumbled out of the barn, just needing some distance, needing to be alone. There were people out there hunting her, but at the moment, they didn't matter as much as the demons inside her, tearing her apart.
New Year's resolution number one. Kill Mallory. Not quickly, either. The use of a calorie counter and a corn dog should be involved in her murder. A Malibu coastline, 4 hours of desert, and that was all I'd come up with for my set of New Year's resolutions. I was either pathetic or still pissed.
Don't worry about it, Cassie.
Mallory's voice from this morning rattled around in my head, all distorted like she'd been drinking too much giggle juice.
I've totally got your ride to Vegas covered.
If conning my ex-boyfriend Justin to take me to Las Vegas was my best friend's idea of covering my ride, I think I should have opted for the spend New Year's Eve alone option.
Caitlin closed her eyes as she hit send, praying that Cassie still was her friend. Praying that nothing went wrong over the next 2 days. And just praying.
It's time, Caitlin.
Caitlin rocked her one-year-old son back and forth, trying to convince him to go down for a nap, but Jay wasn't having it. He was teething, and it seemed to hurt him worse when he lay in a horizontal position. He was so tired that Caitlin swore she'd hold him upright for 8 hours if he'd just fall asleep. But he seemed, paradoxically, too tired to sleep. Jason's intrusion wasn't helping. Jay turned his head and reached his arms out for his father, or the vampire who had once been his father, instinctively begging for the love that should have been his by right. But Jason had never taken an interest in his son. He could barely stand to look at him. In fact, if anything had finally convinced Caitlin that Jason was dead, It was the fact that the real Jason had died for his son. This thing now inhabiting his body didn't even seem to care.
"Did you hear me?"
Jason asked, his voice unusually sharp. Jay cried harder. Caitlin shushed him and rocked more furiously, pretending she hadn't heard. Pretending she could delay the inevitable a few more days. But she'd known this day was coming for a while now. Had sensed it would be soon. It was why she had emailed her best friend in the world 2 days ago, begging for help. Prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of her son. But Cassie had not responded, and Sarah, the nanny who had agreed to transport Jay, had disappeared.
"Answer me, Caitlin,"
Jason said, in a voice that at one time would have compelled obedience. It no longer did, even though Jason continued to feed from her daily, simultaneously injecting her body with a venom that should have kept her in thrall. She wasn't sure why the thrall had gradually dissipated over the past few months, but her new clarity of mind had bigger problems to work out, like the fact that Jason wanted to make her just like him. Jason took another step into the nursery, his form now illuminated by the soft glow of the nightlight. He looked the same as he had in life, tall, broad, muscular, and very, very large. He rarely ventured inside these hallowed walls. But Caitlin had spent more and more time there of late, requiring him to come inside if he wanted her.
"Can't you make him shut up?" Jason asked.
"I'm trying. Can't we talk about this later?"
"Can we? You never leave this room."
And he never came in. Would Caitlin come in after she turned? Or would she forget Jay's existence, the way Jason had? Her nightmare was that of Jay screaming for his mother. But she never came. Eventually, he would stop crying. Then, after a few days, when no one came to feed him, he would stop doing everything else.
"I really should find the composer." The woman went on as if Senna hadn't spoken. "Eventually, they even begin to choke themselves. The rot will begin in the middle until there's an ugly hole. The rest of the plants will become sickly. There simply isn't enough soil and water for all of them." She dug out another root and held it up. "I imagine that's not much consolation for this root, Why it and not one of the others?"
Senna's breath hitched in her throat. "We're not talking about flowers, are we?" The woman tossed the root into a rubbish bin.
"Truthfully, there is no answer. The gardener decides."
Senna let out all of her breath in a rush. "You're the composer." The woman wiped a bead of sweat from her brow, leaving a streak of dirt across her forehead.
"My name is Elish, and you're Brucenna. Come for answers."